Will we get a sporting moment tomorrow? That is the big question. The first test gets underway at 10:30 a.m. Adelaide time. Should be a cracker. We all love an Ashes series, but the weather's not looking good. And calling the game, one of the best in the business for SEN is Anthony Hudson. Hutto, thanks for joining us.
Great to chat to you on your last day. I feel very privileged for that. You can leave one of those packs for when we get over to the Adelaide test in a couple of weeks, if you let us into your state, that is, of course.
Well, we've been having a fair crack at the Premier today. He went public this afternoon at a press conference and said he would love to have the fifth test here at the beautiful Oval. I said, well, you've got to put some money into it and make an effort instead of lip service.
They want another one, do they? Got to get the first one done first, surely.
Yes, well, are we going to get
just
one?
Just on that point, Anthony, about travelling, what's it like for the cricket correspondents this time round with all the... I mean, the rules seem to change every day.
Yeah, it's all over the shop, to be honest, and particularly for the... the English pack, you know, how big it normally is. It's as big as you've ever seen. When you do an English summer normally under the normal circumstances, it's a massive pack. I remember going back from in my early days as just a radio reporter, going to some of those press conferences with the English. That was just extraordinary how many people were here, and the tabloids and the hard time they were giving guys like Gooch and all those years ago. Yeah. So. It's a real travelling circus. I know Mike Atherton, who's part of our coverage, is, I think, like most of the English, are in Sydney for the first one, then being able to travel to Adelaide and hopefully at every venue from there on in. But it's a bit of a mess with rules changing all the time, as you said. So some were hopeful that at the last minute we might have been able to actually get to Brisbane, but they're not opening up until the day after the test ends, so that's really nice of them just to rub it in, because even though we are well used now to broadcasting sport from TV and from studio, the first day of the Ashes test series, it really is a shame that we can't be there. We've been texting each other this afternoon sort of saying, well, what time are you checking into the hotel, where are we going for dinner, and all that sort of stuff, all that silly stuff, because we really wish we were there. It's that anticipation, and when you arrive in town, just like when we hit Adelaide, and It's similar. It's so exciting, but not to be. But as I said, fingers crossed, hopefully we'll get to your neck of the woods for the second test.
Yeah, so you'll be welcome.
Yeah, what do you think about the lead-up, though? Because we know there's nothing bigger than an Ashes test. Has it been a little bit subdued or suppressed? We've had the Tim Payne situation, and the fact that we seem to have known for so long that the weather's going to be bad. Like, all week we've been saying that this week coming up is going to be terrible. Do you think it's still got the same hype about it?
It's hard to tell. Because I'm going to be working on it, I suppose I've gone out of my way to, you know, listen to extra podcasts and read everything there is. But it's hard to get a feel for it because we're not in the city. Both countries have had their, you know, off-field stuff that's in the English stuff, you know, is, I guess, a more significant long-term issue with the racism and Yorkshire and how that's expanded around county cricket and the whole English system. And obviously, we've had the Tim Payne situation, as you said. Certainly, as we've got closer, I feel like, you know, there's so many questions surrounding the actual cricket side of things with you know, Cummins to be the captain and Smith as the vice. And Warney, what a shock, says Mitchell Stark shouldn't play. Ian Chappell says an opposing captain should bat at three rather than four. I've never heard that before. So you've got the predictable sort of questions and comments, and I guess when there's a vacuum to fill, that's what happens. But there are lots of questions over the series. So from a purely cricketing point of view, I'm really excited. Saddened that James Anderson won't be there for the Jimmy Anderson for the first test, but hopefully he'll be back for the Adelaide test.
Talking about everyone having their two bobs worth, we're live and interactive. You've caught one, Hutto, already. Hutto was nearly old enough to get a game for Geelong. That's from Mario at Maslin's Beach. Hey?
Nice.
A little bit of
take it up, Anthony.
I'm only 50. I'm not that old.
Now, previewing this test series, everyone has pretty well put it that the Australian pace attack will do its damage, particularly that English top order has had all sorts of problems over our winter, particularly in the test series in England. Do you read it the same way?
Look, I think so, but there is genuine question marks over Mitchell Stark. I mean, you could easily have picked Jai Richardson. So given where Stark ended up last year, Hazelwood and Cummins are extremely reliable. So we know what we're going to get from them. Nathan Lyon, as we all know, only 9 wickets last year and just didn't get the turn that he has previously, and seemed to bowl a bit straighter. So he'll, you know, he'll be hoping for his 400th wicket as he was at the Gabba at the end of last series. So you're right, though. England's batting lineup has, you know, they've played, I think, 12 tests in 2001. We haven't played barely any, well, none since that Indian test. So they do have that, even though they've had the interrupted weather preparation since they've got here, they do have very much have that on their side. But so much falls on Joe Root. And I suppose Ben Stokes as well. That's certainly, if you're going to make a case for England, the fact that Stokes is A, part of the batting lineup, but B, can bowl, which allows them that extra flexibility. They can play leech if they want to. That really does help them. And particularly now, if there is going to be, it seems, two pink ball test matches, no matter where it's played. Mm. Again, you can mount that argument that that Jimmy Anderson perhaps can have more of an impact, and they've just got enough variety with the rest of their attack. If Ollie Robinson proves to be, can build on his, what we've seen of him in the last 12 months, and Wood brings the pace. Broad, I don't know whether he can do, I don't think he'll be able to do the same to David Warner as he did in England, but maybe he can, you know, cause some damage. So I think you can mount an argument, but we all know that in tests in Australia, we need to, the touring team has to be able to make runs in their first innings. So we'll know a bit more after we see Brisbane.
Well, South Australians, we're pretty happy with the inclusions of Travis Head and Alex Carey. How's that been received in your neck of the woods?
Oh, no, I think fine. I'm pleased to see Head in the team. There was certainly an argument about Khawaja, and if you were going to pick him in the squad, why wouldn't you play him? But I think Travis Head, he's been unlucky at times. Yes, he hasn't made the most of all his opportunities, but he's been unlucky to be overlooked on several occasions. He's made, you know, some big scores this year. Okay, he's had a few failures as well, but he's made enough runs in the Shield to demand to be picked. I think Khawaja would have been, if it's all out to try and win this series, he could have been a reasonable selection to open. I don't think Harris has proven himself. I hope he makes a really good fist of the opportunity he's got this time. It sounds like, from what the selectors have said, they're going to give him that opportunity, but he's very much unproven as an opener. So I think, Travis Head's got the, like Harris, he's got the chance now to have an extended period and let's just hope he can, you know, put the big innings together and not go out in the same fashion as we've seen in the past. And likewise, I think Carey would have been really unlucky to miss out. Again, you could certainly mount a case for Josh Inglis, and he looks like a real talent. But you know, such as the way it's been with Australia, with our wealth of wicket-keeping talent over the years, they've made them wait, haven't they, to make their debut, and Carey's done that. So if he can, he's shown that great composure, particularly in 50-over cricket, and hopefully he can bring that to the Test team.
Anthony, you know, fifth Test in Perth. Cricket Australia say it's now a bidding game for that Test. The good state of South Australia has its premier saying, we have open arms for the great cricket venue of Adelaide Oval, but who is going to get the fifth Test?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, if it comes down to Tasmania, it seemed to be bidding as bold as anyone, don't they? And it seems like the Premier is going to back it financially. So that seems to be the bit to beat at the moment. And you know, part of the argument will be financial. Part of it obviously will be the fact that as an equal state in things, they deserve a test match. They were meant to have one against Afghanistan. That got cancelled. So I think, you know, if you think about it through the lens of what the AFL is going through at the moment with that they should be taking the sport there, then you can certainly mount a strong argument. Equally, Sydney, Melbourne and now Adelaide are putting up a case for the fact that they could easily hold another test match. And I think the Tasmanian bit aside, and to be honest, Adelaide bit aside, it would be really interesting to see how a day-night test went either in Melbourne or Sydney. Against Sydney is the fact that they'll have held the test before, so it would seem odd to do it 2 weeks in a row. I'd love, you know, parochially, I'd love to see another day-night test match in Melbourne, because I don't actually think it's out of the question for Boxing Day in the future. Maybe not a full day-nighter, but a later start would kind of work okay, I reckon. A 12 o'clock start would fit in with everyone's schedules. And anyway, that's another question, but I'd love to see it. But really, I think Tasmania would be is my hunch at the moment, but it seems like Cricket Australia are delaying it for as long as they can because they just want to get a view on the lie of the land and maybe get those like extending an auction for your house. Just keep the bidders coming.
Yeah, it does appear that Hobart have their nose in front. Hutto, your prediction for the Ashes series?
Well, I'm trying to be optimistic. And as a commentator, I think sometimes we get accused of being biased in one way or another. But what we usually want is a contest all the way. So I'd love it to be 2-2 going to Hobart, Adelaide, Sydney or Melbourne, wherever we're going. So I'm going to tip. I'm going to get a result in every test match and 3-2 to Australia to win in the last test match on the last day at Belle Reve.
Yeah, well, we're not a given. Everyone's predicting Australia, but they were doing that against India as well, and they couldn't beat them when they were undermanned. Hutto, we look forward to your coverage. The summer of cricket on SEN. The first test gets underway at 10:30 from the Gabba tomorrow. We'll be tuning in. Thanks for your time tonight.
No, always great to chat to you. Just the one, Joe Root's form in England was just magnificent. I know he's got the pressure on him, and his performance here in the past hasn't been quite as good, but for those that are cricket fans, if he makes some, he'll be just worth watching alone if he can get in. So something to look forward to. You guys will be able to do it with your feet up and half an ear on the radio, half an ear and eye on the telly. Enjoy your summers, lads, and great to chat.
Thanks, Hutto, and thanks for all your support throughout the year. There he is, Anthony Hudson, part of the SEN cricket coverage.